Come on, we know that life offers us all kinds of, you know, all kinds of surprises. And what the Lord is trying to teach us through it all is that we go deeper into His heart, that's all. It draws us deeper into His heart, and there's a place of release, there's a place of escape in the secret place. And so we get a taste of that, you know. As individuals in our daily walk, you know, we can't wait always to get here. You've got to learn how to walk, amen, daily. Walk it out. But the Lord gives you, and this is a special blessing, though, when we come together. Behold how good and how pleasant it is when brethren come together in unity, right? When we dwell together in unity. And the Lord commands the blessing. And we have unity here tonight. That's why there's a blessing. There is real joy, isn't there, in the Lord? I still remember that song back. It was actually back in the 70s, but happiness is the Lord. True joy is mine, no matter if the teardrops start. I found a secret, it's Jesus in my heart. Happiness is to be forgiven, living a life that's worth the living, taking a trip that leads to heaven. Happiness is the Lord. Do you know you don't have to wait to get to heaven to have heaven in your heart? Isn't that the awesome thing, that we can take the trip to heaven by in the Spirit? We're united with Him and seated together with Him in heavenly places. So it's about going into His heart, going deep into His heart. And sometimes the difficulties and the heaviness of life are actually good for us, because it causes us to just do that, to draw near to God. Does anybody beside myself realize that really this is more than you can handle apart from Jesus? Now, when you're in the world, you think, I can handle, I can do it. And then when you get saved, you say, now how could I have survived that long without Jesus? Has anybody ever said that, right? We've all said that. We said, how could I have gone so... And then now we say, I just can't do it without Jesus. You want to know the reason why that? Is because He is your life. And if you don't abide in life, you're abiding, you'll die. You start to wither. We want to bear fruit. We want not just some fruit, we want to be much fruit Christians, right? As we abide in Him, we will bear much fruit. I'm going to share again from last Wednesday on the same thing. Basically, I want to get a good recording of it. People had asked for it, and I believe that it's a relevant word for us and something that we want to really focus on as we're going into 2013 here. That these are really 4 or 5 points that I want to make. And they're ways that if we integrate them, if we put them together, that we will be successful in our walk, and we will have victory. I am convinced that God wants you to have a victorious life. Amen. Now, sometimes we have trouble saying amen to that because we think about our lives and we say, what victory? I just got quiet in here. But I think we've all been there at least once, right? Okay. Some of you are too spiritual for me, but I think even Jesus struggled a little bit in the flesh. Yes, He did. But not in the sin nature, as the flesh meaning in the body on the earth. But God wants His people to be victorious. He wants us to overcome. And the only way we can overcome is by the overcomer. By abiding in the overcomer. It's the same message, folks. But there's a couple principles I want to share once again tonight. That will, if we can practice these throughout the year 2013, I believe we're going to see tremendous visitations, tremendous breakthroughs, tremendous things happening. in our personal lives and even in the life of this church. If we get a hold of these and we really start to walk them out. Not just hear another message and say, well, that was a good message. But we need to take what we're hearing, amen. We need to start saying, okay, where is the God of Elijah? I've got the word. I've got it in my hand, amen. Apply, believe, and watch and see that God is true to what he says. God wants to demonstrate, amen, he wants to demonstrate to us in our daily lives that he is Lord, that he will take care of us, that he will provide for us, that we don't have to worry. We don't have to worry. We're not supposed to worry. And once again, if we're worrying, it means that we're lacking, right? We need to go deeper into him who's not worried. To him who's at perfect peace. He is perfect peace. So if you find yourself worried and anxious and distraught and tormented, it means that you need either a replacement of something that's not good out of your life, and Jesus will fill that. Amen? But it certainly means that we need to go deeper into his heart. Because the Lord wants to clothe us in himself every day. There is an armor that he wants us to be clothed in. And the armor is really Christ himself, Jesus. We are to put on Christ. And when we abide in him and he abides in us, then it's amazing too that our prayers begin to get answered too. Because it's a promise from the Lord. Do you want your prayers answered? Start abiding in them. Quit playing games and get serious about this thing. Amen? Amen. Amen. Two amens. Okay, no. So, how to have a blessed life. I want to start out with this. The first thing we need to know is that without holiness, we will not see the Lord. God calls his people, the ones that represent him, to live holy. Now, I'm going to explain a little bit more. Most of you know what I'm talking about. But what do we mean by that? What do we mean by holy? But we need to live right. We need to live holy lives. Because we are representing him from heaven. Amen? On the earth. And if we don't live right, we end up bringing reproach upon our Lord. We bring dishonor to his name. Because people, whether we believe it or not, they look at us and they know if we claim to be Christians, they say, well, what does a Christian look like? Because by looking at us, they are getting an image of Christ. They're supposed to. And so if they're not seeing Christ in us, or if we're misrepresenting him to the world, we're actually bringing reproach or dishonor or shame upon the name of the Lord. Are you with me? And do not expect the blessing and the favor of God to rest upon you if you are dishonoring him. So we've got to toe the line with God. We have got to get into that place with him where we are walking with him carefully, that we are listening to his voice, that we are abiding in him. Now, holiness means complete, right? To be complete. And God is holy in that everything he says, everything he thinks, everything he does always agrees. It always agrees. Amen? There's never a disconnect there. Sometimes we may think a certain thing and speak a different thing, or speak something and do something differently. That's called being what? Unholy. But when we are integrated as a person, when you are a person of integrity, of trustworthiness, and you're someone who, I know that if he tells me something, he means it. What he thinks, what he does, what he says, all agree. That is someone you can trust. We should be that kind of people on the earth that people can trust. Amen? We're integrous. We live Amen? Up to our word. If we say something, we're going to follow through with it. Because we are to be like our Father, who is completely holy. Now, if we try to do that in a separated sense, where God's holy and I'm down here and I'm just struggling to kind of live a perfect life in my own strength, you know that doesn't work. So what's happened is when we are born of the Spirit of Christ comes within us, we are integrated into Him who is holy. And we are also holy as we abide in that relationship with Him. That means that I'm taking my orders from Him. I'm listening to the voice of truth now. I'm no longer listening to the voice of my own reason even, because my own reason often contradicts what God wants to do and what He says. So for me to be holy is to abide in Him who is holy. It's not just living a perfect life. If it was possible for us to live a perfect life, then Jesus would have never gone to the cross. But He had to go because we could not live up to the standards of God. But now in Christ Jesus, we have been given the power to live a holy life. Because sin is no longer my master, I have been set free. So I can now serve the Lord. And I can walk with Him. And when I'm walking with Him, I'm not preoccupied with worldly sinful things. Are you with me? When we're walking with Jesus in a relationship, and the enemy, he just tries to come up. It's like, hey, out of here. I'm with Jesus. So the first thing we need to know is that God wants us to live right. That means we need to be people of integrity. We need to be people that walk in His love. And that our lives are bearing good fruit. So that we're honoring to God. For the kingdom of God in Romans 14:17 is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. There's the abiding union in the Spirit. It's in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, where we have the fruits of righteousness. Amen? Philippians 1:9, in this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. That you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Christ Jesus, to the glory and praise of God, the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ. In the New Living Translation, it says this, I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation. Listen, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. We know this very well, John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. There's a connection between obedience and answered prayer. There's a connection between obedience and answered prayer. We need to have our prayers answered. Are you with me? I want my prayers answered. I don't want anything hindering my prayers. And I know you feel the same way. And so the first thing is to be abiding in Him, to be holy in Him. Amen? Amen? To live holy, to know that every day I'm representing Him and the honor of His name. I want to bring honor to my Father. And when they look at my life, I want them to say, now that's a Christian. Do you know most of the world even knows what a Christian's supposed to look like? They know what a Christian is supposed to look like. A lot of the people that are criticizing Christians have read the Bible, at least, and they have enough knowledge to know that that ain't Christian. Isn't it true? And what a shame it is if we claim to be a follower of His and then we live like the devil. Because it will hinder your prayers. Why is it so important? Because without prayer, nothing's going to happen. Are you with me? Nothing will change. You can live your life for years and years in the same old bubble and never go anywhere. Unless you get this first thing straight, unless you get in the right order with God, unless you get your heart right with God, the rest of it's just, you're just wasting your time, folks. Are you with me? We need to confess our sins and we need to renounce them and forsake them. And we need to turn to God with our whole heart. That's repentance. Once you do that, now when you pray, it's like all of a sudden, God's hearing me. Wow, God's actually answering my prayers. Can you imagine that? It's hard to imagine, isn't it? Because we sometimes look at ourselves and we just say, man, you know, God actually listens to me. You know, God wants to answer your prayers. He wants to. But you tie his hands if you're not walking in right order with him. Because God is holy and he can't bless rebellion. A rebellious child needs to be taken out, amen, behind the barn and taught a lesson, or the woodshed, whatever. Now, our Father is a good Father, and he disciplines us at times. He spanks us in different ways, doesn't he? But it's because he loves us that much. He never abuses his children. He just allows things at times to teach us lessons so that we can learn not to do that again, because that is the way of death. And I don't want my children walking in death, says the Lord. And so we need to pray. We need to live right. And we need to pray. Now, this is very, we know this, but I'm going to connect these for us, because often we'll talk about this and we'll talk about that, but we won't put them together. But prayer is 1 Timothy 2:1. It says, therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority. Instead of criticizing our president, I get upset sometimes. We pray for him that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. What's good and acceptable? That we pray for those in authority. Amen? But not just for them, but in everything we should be praying. Because a supplication is an earnest entreaty. It's to really pour out your heart. Ever done that? Just poured your heart out to God? Sure. And general prayers, which are like petitioning God, you know? You know, God wants you to petition him. It's okay to ask God for things that you need. Intercession is what? Standing in the gap. It's praying on behalf of others. Praying for others. And God desires, verse 4, all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now we know that Jesus is the only one, amen, who is worthy to open the scroll. And in Revelation 5 and 8, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, who is Christ, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. In heaven there are these, amen, these golden bowls which collect the prayers of the saints. Now, the Bible says that the prayers are as an incense before God's throne. In other words, it's a sweet savor. It's a fragrance in heaven, the prayers of God's people. Now, it didn't say that there was a little wine glass, okay, in their hand. It says there were bowls full of sweet odors, you know, which were the prayers of the saints. And I believe, folks, and we're going to look at, we can take a look at Cornelius again and see that when you are a person who is sowing in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, there is a collection that's taking place in heaven. That is going into your heavenly bank account. Every time you pray, every time you pray on behalf of someone else, that's going into your bank account. Not only for you, but as you prayed for others, that's going into heaven, so that there can be a release of that in God's time, in his season, for that prayer to be answered. You're praying for loved ones. Don't give up. Because that incense is going before God and it's being collected in these bowls. And I believe that God's intention is to release or to turn back, if you will, what had been collected and to release it upon the earth. But Galatians 6:9 says that we cannot become weary in well-doing. What happens is we pray a little bit and we get discouraged. We pray a little bit and we give up. But he's warning us there, don't quit. Keep on praying. Keep on sowing in the Spirit. Why? Every time you do, it is a collection, folks, in heaven. Okay? Are we tracking so far? In Acts chapter 10, verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man, verse 2, and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. And about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and he said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, listen, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Keep on praying in the Spirit. Keep on sowing in the Spirit. Keep on giving in the Spirit. Amen? You first, you make sure that you listen to His voice, do what He says. Then you sow in the Spirit. Amen? You pray. You give. You bless. You love. Because there's an account in heaven for you that God is keeping. Now, third thing is that we've got to then give praise to God. All right? Sometimes when we are doing our worship and our time of singing, we're actually doing petitioning too. We're actually, have you noticed that? A lot of the songs we do are they're prayers too. So we're praying and praising in combination. And what we're doing is we're seeding, if you will, the clouds. It's going up into the heavenly bank account on behalf even of this fellowship and those who are privileged to be a part of this group. And I say that not because I'm the pastor here, but because I'm privileged to be with you. And we're privileged to be here and to know what we know and to have available what God has given to us, folks, is something that someone somewhere is sowing in the Spirit to. The weight of glory that we're experiencing right now, the level of glory, is really often according to what we had sown in the Spirit. So do you want more? Then you need to sow more in the Spirit. Do you want a little sprinkle or do you want a cloud burst? If you want a cloud burst, the clouds are going to have to get pretty heavy. Amen? They're going to have to get pretty pregnant with the praises of God's people and the prayers and the intercession and the giving of thanks that goes up before the throne of God and is being collected, and it becomes very heavy. There's like a weightiness in the atmosphere. Hallelujah. But what praise does is praise brings the glory down. Yes. As we praise the glory, you notice it? The glory of God comes down. Hallelujah. And then according to what is there, by faith, we begin to activate or to tap into that, and it begins to get released into the natural, the supernatural into the natural, the heavenly into the earthly, the kingdom, amen, of God to come and His will to be done on the earth. So we've got to be praising God to bring the glory. But sometimes, folks, we can be praising God and the presence of God can be very strong in here. Are you with me? But then there's something that seems to hinder anything else from going beyond a certain point. In other words, we feel His presence and His power, but sometimes there's very little demonstration of the reality of that kingdom. There's very little breakthrough, if you will. In other words, we may have a cloud that is very full, but there's only a little bit that's leaking through. What we're looking for, what I'm looking for, what I'm hungering for is a cloud burst, not only over this church, but over our city. Amen? that's going to just radically transform this city. God wants to do it. But what takes is God's people, the ones called by His name, amen, humbling themselves and praying and seeking His face and turning from their wicked ways. Because God wants to hear from heaven and He wants to forgive our sin and heal our land. But we've got to be sowing in the Spirit, and we've got through praise, we bring it down. But then it's by faith, folks, that we activate it. Are you with me? Into the now. We have to reach by faith and bring it in to this reality, that which we see with our natural eyes. Give the Lord God glory, do His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. 1 Chronicles 16:29. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Psalms 47:1. Oh, clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. Psalms 22:3. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. You can get the tape later. Psalms 32:11. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Psalms 47:5. God has gone up with a shout. The Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Hallelujah. Isn't it cool how God just arises in our midst and our enemies are gone and the peace of God comes, and hallelujah. And when peace is dancing, there is joy in the Holy Spirit. And it's because we are doing this to some level that we are sowing in the Spirit, that we are experiencing the blessings we have now. But folks, we need more than just to bless me. Amen. We need so that others are going to get what we have. Hallelujah. God blesses us to be a blessing. Oh, come and let us sing to the Lord. Psalms 95:1. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Psalms 95:2. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. Psalms 98:4. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song, rejoice and sing praises. Now, people will say, well, I'm just a quiet person. I don't get into all that loud stuff. What Bible do they read? It doesn't matter. It's not about my personality. It's about obeying God. And you know, when we start to get thankful enough, amen, and God begins to move in your heart enough, I've heard people who you never heard a peep from get pretty happy and get pretty loud. And sometimes, folks, it's just some stuff that's on you that needs to be broken off. Because the quiet people can get very noisy when the anointing comes. Ask my brother. I was the quiet one in the house. I can look out here today and I can see others too who were quiet ones. God has done something in their hearts, done something to them. Now they're not ashamed. They're bold to speak the name of Jesus now because they're full of the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And we're not intimidated, we're not afraid, we're not ashamed. And so whatever we do, we need to do it heartily as unto the Lord. We need to do it with our hearts. We need to be generous in everything we do. Amen? If you're generous and you're giving, God will bless you. Because He's a generous God. And whatever we do, as we're offering our lives, when I talk about giving, how many know I'm not just talking about giving your money, but it does include that. It talks about giving of your life. As we give ourselves on behalf of others, it is also something that comes before God as a sweet fragrance. Why? Because that's the heart of God. The heart of God is to love others. Jesus came and loved people. Amen? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came not to do His own will, but the will of the one who sent Him. Jesus was a lover. Amen? That's why people wanted to be with Jesus. Because Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. They were being set free. They were being healed. Hallelujah. He was doing the miracle of multiplication. And, you know, a few fishes and loaves became fed a multitude. How could that be? Well, they had the Son of God there. Jesus was with them. And Jesus is with us now in His Spirit. He has sent His Spirit into our hearts. And if we will abide in Him, then we will have the heart of Jesus. Amen? Amen. And we will want to do these things that Jesus did. If you're born of God, you will want to do the things that Jesus did. And as a matter of fact, if you believe in Jesus, as it was written of Him, He said that out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe in My name, Mark 16. We will demonstrate by what? Casting out demons and healing the sick and raising the dead. Amazing things that will happen if we are abiding in Him. Does not God want us to do the works that Jesus did while He was here?
Yes.
Has anybody raised the dead recently?
No.
Okay. Has anybody opened blind eyes recently?
No.
Deaf ears?
Not yet.
Okay. How about anybody healed a knee or an elbow recently? Okay, we've had some of those things happening, right? Okay. But what am I saying? There's more, right, Phil? There's much more that God wants to accomplish. But listen, it's going to depend on you and I that we are sowing in the Spirit. If our bank account is empty, don't expect much. Amen? If you got little in your bank account, don't expect much. But if you're sowing consistently and generously in the Holy Spirit, then guess what? You will have a very large bank account. And the bank account is not just so I can say, look how blessed I am. But the bank account is there because we love like Jesus did, and we want to take and we want to share what Jesus has given to us with other people. So keep on praying, keep on sowing, keep on giving, keep on loving, keep on abiding. And as you're doing that, it's stacking heaven. Amen? You're getting that bank account full in heaven. And then when we come together, folks, if we've been praying through the week, hallelujah. I mean, let's do it, right? Let's be praying about Sunday morning too. There's going to be a cloud burst here. I mean, God has really been pouring out His Spirit. I mean, we need to be very thankful for what's been happening. But folks, we need a move that's going to shake this city. Amen? And God wants to shake the earth, not just Shelton, but He wants to shake the earth. He wants to reach nations. And so it's going to require God's people praying, humbling themselves, sowing. Not just doing a little dabble do me. I got my goosebump last Sunday morning. It's about sowing in the Spirit consistently. And as we do that, it's accumulating. And the day will come, as it says in Galatians 6:9, in due season, you shall reap if you don't faint, if you don't lose heart, if you don't give up, right? So how many feel like, yeah, I'm going to start sowing more in the Spirit?
Yes.
All right?
Yeah.
That's the point. In the home too. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And pray here, yes. But we should already be ready, right? Isn't it? This has been the problem. See, we've been like, I've heard someone use this analogy, like the Indianapolis 500. We go another lap, and we plug in, we get our fuel, and then we go another lap. And next Sunday we get in, get our fuel. It's like, no, that's not God's plan. That you come to church just to take. But when you come to church, it's to give. And as we all come and we all give in, because we've all been sowing in the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, God's got something waiting. That's why, folks, I can tell when we're praying corporately, and I know you can too, you walk through that door and it's like, whoa. Something, the atmosphere's pregnant. Amen? With the goodness of God.
Amen.
With the glory of God. And He wants to release it upon us. So, that's when, if we've been doing the right thing, in other words, we've lived right. Amen? Not perfect, but we're listening to His voice. That's what we mean. we are praying, amen, stacking it up, if you will, and then we praise when we come together, hallelujah, and even in your own life, you don't have to wait to get to come to church to praise the Lord, right? Hallelujah, you can get blessed in your car. You can get blessed in Walmart, wherever you find yourself, just praise the Lord. And you set the atmosphere around you. And the glory of God comes. And then it's by faith. Faith is the key. I believe, I've sown. So Father, I'm asking you now to release that, which, you know, you have for us in this hour. And when we come, God does that. We're learning how to listen to His voice. I'm learning how to listen to His voice. So that we're, you know, we're hearing what He's saying. And we're going to do what we see Him do. And we're going to speak what we hear Him speak. And when we do that, folks, it's not a hit and miss thing. But when we know and by revelation God has shown us something, amen, if it's a true word of knowledge, it will happen. God will not give a word of knowledge and not fulfill it. So we know if we're hearing from God and it's a word of knowledge, that if somebody, like if God says you've got a left ear that's, you know, that's that needs to be healed, or if He reveals that, it's because He's going to do it. And so I believe that God is here and He's got His hands out, and there are all these things we've sowed. We've asked God, open the windows of heaven. God, pour out your blessings. God, heal the sick. We've been sowing these prayers. Well, God is here with the gifts. But by faith, we have to bring it in. And we bring it in by finding out what God wants to do. Now, let me just go a step further. Sometimes God does things that we want Him to do. It's not always just God's will, folks. Because we have children, many of us here. We allow our children some liberty. We allow them to dream. We allow them to ask for certain things that are very specific to them. And we delight to be able to bless our kids with things that they desire. But there's a prerequisite. If you delight yourself in the Lord, then He will give you the desires of your heart. That's not a misinterpretation. That is for real. There are things that God has given to us, not just stuff, but just especially we should eagerly desire spiritual gifts and things, you know, the Spirit, things that are going to have an eternal glory. But even stuff, I've told you this story before, but my wife and I, for example, we were looking at this beautiful stone house one time when we were in pastoring in New York and thought, wow, wouldn't it be nice to live there? Because we were, you know, we were having to move out of the apartment we were in. Not, we weren't getting kicked out. We just had to move out because they were... But it was interesting. It was in another town, actually. And we were in front of a store and kind of saw this house and said, they wouldn't be nice. Well, long story short, we ended up being in that house. And I hadn't even seen it, but I saw an ad probably 6 months later or whatever it was. It was not right away, but it was down the road, 6 months to a year, that we saw this ad, and we called and started talking to the guy, and he started explaining the house to us. And it was affordable. It was within our budget. We could do it. And so we took a drive, and we're kind of like navigating the map, and guess what? It was that house. And we got to live in that house. And it wasn't anything that we even asked the Lord about. But just kind of like it was just something that we thought, wouldn't it be nice to be able to live there? And God hears your heart, you see. And if you're delighting yourself in Him, if you're abiding in Him, if you're blessing Him, He wants to give good gifts to us because we're His kids. How many realize it's really worth, amen, being obedient to the Father? It's really good. It's so good for us, but it, most importantly, it's so good for our Father's heart that we're not grieving the Holy Spirit of God. You know, He can be grieved. God can be grieved. So we don't want to grieve Him. What we want to do is put a smile on His face. When God is smiling, folks, guess who else is going to be smiling? Do you know God is smiling tonight? Amen. Do you know why we're so there's joy in this house tonight? Because God is smiling on us. Yeah. How many know what it's like to grieve the Spirit? Yeah? You get it inside, you're like, oh man, why did I do that? Why did I say that? Or why did I even think that? What do? We don't walk around and beat ourselves up the rest of the day. We run right to Jesus. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I receive your forgiveness. Thank you for forgiving me. And I go on. That's it. So, all right. We put these together. We never quit. Amen? That's the last point. Never quit sowing. Because your labor in the Lord is never in vain. There's a reward for everything you've done. Amen? In the Holy Spirit. We want to honor Him. And the best way to honor Him is to be clothed in Him. So that the world is not getting a dose of the amen of us, but they're seeing Jesus in us. It's like, there's something different about you. You've got a peace about you. There's like a radiance about your face. And there's a joy, you know, that I don't have. We need to be so full of Jesus that the world takes note and say, wow, just like the early church, you know, they took note of the disciples, right? Even the rough ones, Peter and John and them, because they had been with Jesus. And there was something transforming about being around Jesus. And there was something contagious about that too. All right. So how many are going to be just making this year your resolution? I'm going to just be sowing like never before in the Holy Spirit, right? Amen. Hallelujah. We want to have a bank account that's just rich, amen? Amen? So that we can be blessed and be a blessing and see many people this year come to know Jesus. Amen. And to enjoy the fruits of righteousness that we do. Hallelujah. To have that blessed life. Truly have a blessed life in the Lord. Hallelujah.